Nerd Soul.
Yeah. Late LK at one youngster holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, all year, coming with another wonderful episode of Dabio Dope. I am not by myself. I am joined by the awesome, the incredible. You may know him from his roles in movies such as Coming to America, all right? Bad Boys, True Lies, Independence Day, even Ghostbusters, all right? This man that I bring to you.
Man, why you gotta do that to them?
Clement Bright.
Man, I wish my bank account matched all those movies.
Man.
Like, it's a joke. Yeah. I'm all right in the money department right now, but I'm just saying. But no, I'm good. I just rewatched Panic Room. I did a David Fincher double take, I would call it. Where I watched Panic Room and then I watched Zodiac.
I've seen Zodiac.
Dude, I've seen Zodiac.
That was good.
Zodiac is one of my favorite movies. I watch Zodiac probably around the same time every year around the summer. Mm. Around my birthday. It was just my birthday this past week.
So, we talked about that last
year. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
So thanks. Man. Zodiac is just one of my favorite movies. It's so It has Downey. It has Jake Gyllenhaal, Mark Ruffalo, you know, the three kings of the MCU, pretty much. They're all in it. Like, yes, it is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, cool. Well, check out Zodiac. Guys, today we're getting into a movie review of the brand new Netflix drop called The Old Guard. Now, before we get started, this will be spoiler free for about 10 to 15 minutes or so. After that, we're getting into spoilers, but I will let you know when we're getting into spoilers. So, on a spoiler-free tip, Clement, how did you feel after the movie finished, credits rolled, how were you feeling? What were your impressions of the flick?
I wanted a sequel. I was mad that I couldn't watch the sequel next. I was like, we'll get into it after we get to the spoiler section, but like the way it ended, I was like, I called it earlier. And for those who aren't aware, The Old Guard is based on a comic book. So I didn't read the comic book before going into this. But I was familiar with
the premise. I didn't even know it was a comic book.
Yeah. I was familiar with the premise. And like when I was working for like ad agencies, I heard rumors about this thing getting picked up. So I was like, all right, this is cool. I'm going to watch it. So when I got to the end, I was like, where's the sequel? Like what's going on? I need it. Like I was like, you gotta eat more of those Old Guard movies, kinda like that Dave Chappelle joint.
Got me more.
Yeah,
you gotta eat more. I'll say this. When I finished watching it, I didn't know it was a comic book joint, but I kind of sort of figured it out or found out at the beginning. When I saw Greg Rucka's name, I was like, I wonder if this was a comic book. I was like, because that's the only thing he works on. I was like, Greg Rucka? I was like, I wonder if this one. So, for me, pretty solid action movie. I enjoyed a lot. I had a lot of fun. There were some. How should you say, tropey things where it's like, we know what's about to happen. But I had a good time. There wasn't a moment where I rolled my eyes.
Yeah.
See, I count eye rolls. If I start rolling my eyes, then I'm like, you know what I'm saying? There was only one eye roll, but that's an eye roll that happens in a lot of movies like this. And I'll get into that later after the spoiler territory. But solid action. And something that kind of kept me engaged. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Let's see what happens. Let's see where this goes. I like that they handled the flashbacks how they did, where they didn't just sit down and the whole time we're like, let's sit down for an hour and give you nothing but flashbacks. They kept us engaged, kind of kept the story moving and let us know kind of what was going on. So I had fun, and I'll actually go with you. I do want a sequel, but I would also like a, say, three-part miniseries connecting this and the next movie, dealing with a certain specific character, but we'll
get into that. Spoilers.
We'll handle that in spoiler territory.
I will say, based off going off purely online sentiment, I've seen so many people talk about this movie, kind of similar to the way a lot of people talked about Extraction when it dropped. And Extraction got a sequel. It wasn't even maybe a month later it got it until it got the sequel for it. So I'm very hopeful that Netflix will realize that they have a new franchise in this movie.
Yeah, because I think they definitely have.
Yeah,
they, especially with something like this, when you're dealing with, and I don't think this is a spoiler, so I'm going to say this, when you're dealing with people that have very long lifespans, or possibly immortal, we're not sure. For the most part, just very, 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 very long lifespans. And so you can always play with, okay, well, let's go to the 1500s.
You can do a prequel.
You can also play with, let's go to the year 3005. You know, like you could also, you know, and so you could always play with different groups of actors, and you know, you could have your future actors, your past act. So you could do stuff. You can do like
a
lot. Well.
You can do a prequel, and I would love to see a prequel for this one, especially if Charlize decided, if they decided to like do the whole franchise thing, where they do like the miniseries, or they do the film, or they do like two movies.
Yeah, so I'll tell you how I got on this. I can't remember who messaged me, but they were talking about Gina Prince Bythewood.
Yeah,
I did not want to screw up her name.
You're right. I think you're right. This is my part. Yeah. Right.
So, but they were talking about like, hey, you need to check it out because she's doing her thing. This is an action movie too, based on a comic. You know what I'm saying? Blah blah blah. You got to check it out. This, that, and third. And as far as what I saw, it was solid. And when it comes to the direction, what I liked in a lot of cases was the movie didn't feel similar to Extraction. It didn't feel small. It didn't feel like a movie that was made for Netflix. And when I say that,
I know what you mean.
What I mean is there's straight to DVD movies that Netflix takes, i.e. Adam Sandler, that look like they had just a particular budget and that's it. This movie does a little jet setting. Now it might be on a set, but they do a good job of like faking the jet set, at least where we're like in we're in Afghanistan, we're in France, we're in the, you know what I'm saying, we're coming to London or something, like we're getting around a little bit. So I'm like, cool, you get that sort of Bond vibe. And with the direction, once again, a thing that I liked is that I never felt like we were slowing down. We did have quiet moments, but I never felt like the movie stopped to say, okay, guys, let's get up to speed.
Right. And the way that, and it didn't rely too much on exposition to start out. You know that you have some movies that like take 30 to 45 minutes to kind of show the audience, hey, if this is what the world is, these are what these terms are, these are the history of it. There's a lot of shows like that that try to have massive world building and bring you into the world. And like, while that's great, it takes you, if you're a TV series, it takes you 3 to 4 episodes just to figure out what term you're talking about, who the characters are, what the level setting is. I will say the one thing that I did like about this movie is the action was easy to follow. It wasn't like how you have a Michael Bay movie or you have some other movies. Now, don't get me wrong, I like Transformers as much as the next guy, but like there's some moments where I'm just like, wait, who's going what? Bullets are going where?
Yeah.
Who's fighting?
There was only one scene that I kind of felt that way in this. For the most part, it was, you know, and I know, you know, when you hire actors, you're not hiring fighters. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta kinda like cut around things.
Unless it's Tom Cruise.
I never felt like it was super choppy. You know what I'm saying? I never felt like it was that. You know what I'm saying? I never felt like it was super choppy, except one scene. But in this, another thing that I like is that the actors felt real. Like, I know this is watching some fake stuff, but none of them it never seemed like these three actors are good and this person sucks.
Like, the other three actors are making that actor's performance better by them just being in the movie. Yeah, I felt like everyone bought their game, and I felt, we'll get into this in spoilers, but there's two characters, and you probably know which two characters I'm talking about, that I was like, I want to know more about those guys, and I want to know more about Charlize's character. But the way they went about it, it just felt like something that was, it didn't feel like another Netflix movie or another straight to DVD movie that's just been like, okay, let's just do whatever. There, you could tell that there was care by the way that they brought Greg Rucka to.
Yep.
Not only he adapted his own comic book, and that's rare. And that's a step up for him. So I'm like, you know, that really doesn't happen in movies where you have the original creator kind of adapting their own thing. It might happen here and there. J.K. Rowling, I know she, you know, did it on something like Fantastic Beasts. But sometimes you'll have other.
But she is some hot water right now.
Let's not go into it because that's controversial.
She will stay out of trouble, boy. She will not stay out of trouble.
Hey, this is about Gina's movie. This ain't no about you. But like, my point is, it just doesn't happen. So the fact that they bought Greg on and then they bought Gina, I was like, okay, this is really good. And honestly, I didn't expect to be raving about the movie afterwards the way I am right now.
Yeah,
I'll be like, it was gonna be like a cool action flick to watch on a weekend, but like now I'm like, oh wait,
I'd say Netflix has three possible franchises, all action based. The Ryan Reynolds joint, Six Underground.
Yeah. All right,
even though that is Michael Bay at his bayest. All right, I mean, that thing is like cocaine action.
Bonkers.
But then you have Extraction, which is a little more hard-nosed, you know, a little more hard-nosed 90s action.
And yeah, it's like a throwback to like Rambo a little bit.
Yeah, and then you have this, which is the old guard, which is you're sliding your supernatural in there, and you're having some fun. You're having some fun with like team-based. I don't want to get into spoilers. Team-based, you know, action. I'll say that because I'm trying to make sure I don't get spoilery. The last thing I'll touch on before going to spoiler territory is that the world that we were in, especially once we got to the villain and villains, you felt like, okay, this, I can see this happening. I can see, even though the villain did come off as
one note.
That villain has been in other movies before.
But it did
come off in a way where I was like, if this is something that was going on, there would be a guy like this around. There definitely would be a guy like this around.
Of course, and the villain is Harry Potter's cousin. Speaking of J.K. Rowling, he played Harry Potter's cousin.
Snap.
I was like, he sounds familiar. And he sounds familiar. Like, the tone of voice is like, his inflection of voice sounds really familiar. I looked him up. I was like, that's the dude from Harry Potter? I'm like, I was really shocked. But like, even I dug his performance. I was like, I would like to see him in more things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess
before we jump off to the spoiler territory, what do you feel about, like, when it comes to your rating of this film? What would you say, what would you get out of 5 stars? What would you give it?
Probably 4.5.
Okay, now you high for me. You're high for me, but.
I'm giving it a 4.5 just based off it subverted my expectations. I thought it was just gonna be just like the straight John Frick, and I wasn't expecting to have the attachment to the characters.
Yeah.
And then two, remembering certain scenes, which we're going to get into spoilers, and then also wanting to go pick up the comic book directly afterwards.
Now, I'll kind of agree with you on that, but I don't want to pick up the comic book now because now I don't want to mess up anything that I might learn in the future.
Well, so, I mean,
that's the only reason I don't want to pick it up. I'm like, it's a comic, I'll probably get it. And I'm like, maybe I should leave it alone. Whenever I find out something's a book or something, I always have that thing like, should I get it? Because I don't want to mess with this. Because, you know, you don't want to become that person of, they should have done this. You know?
Yeah.
Why didn't they do this? So I don't, because I will be that guy. I'll be like, hey, why didn't they do this?
I mean, I get like that on certain things. Like, I get like that on Marvel and DC stuff because it's like, mm-hmm. that's really easy to figure out where they should have gone. But like something like this, yeah. I'm kind of like, I'm more than willing to figure out what they're doing and go to the comic book to see like, hey, and try to learn what they're going to do or what they could do. True. If this becomes a sequel.
For me, solid 3.5 stars. There were a couple of things that got on me, which I'll get into in spoiler territory. They're not deal breakers. That's why my score is still way above half. A lot of fun action, some great chemistry.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Like these guys had known each other forever.
Years.
literally.
But, right.
And the introduction of Kiki Lane, which I'll talk about before we go spoiler, is solid. She comes through, she kills it, and to a certain degree, I'm like, oh man, can we get like 10 more minutes of this?
But yeah, I feel
but
you.
With that said, guys, we are now in spoiler territory. We're going full spoiler. If you haven't seen it, just go on Netflix, watch it, come back and watch it. But, or if you like, yo, I don't care, don't tell me, I'm gonna watch it anyway, then fine. But we are going full spoiler
spoilers
right now. Okay. Yeah. I'll say my eye roll moment. I only had two. One was late, so I don't super count that. My eye roll moment was when Copley was all on some, he was all on some, you're not a good guy? Like,
I mean, I felt like it was going that route, which is why
we do this
I
in so like, many movies.
I mean, but like, I think that's also just a comic book trope because it is based on a comic book.
But I'm like, Copley is a guy who's way too smart to know this. Way too, like you played him. It's like he's super capable, and then you're like, let's pull it back and make him dumb. So you're like, you're gonna experiment on them? You don't have a heart.
I mean, I think it's like, and honestly, to play the counterpoint, he is smart, but I'm like probably a lot of that intelligence or like him rationally thinking through things about where they were gonna end up.
Mm-hmm.
Was probably because of the grief and because of his wife.
Okay, blinded by the okay.
Because
I can roll with
and just to play the counterpoint and not to say that I'm excusing your like
no critique. No, I understand.
I was just saying like grief makes us do crazy things, and he brings up his wife several times. Like every scene he comes up, he brings up his wife. So it's kind of like, all right.
Man, his wife be coming out. They should have casted her. No.
I mean, if I lost my life, my girlfriend, you know, hopefully wife one day to MS or something like that, I'd be upset too. So I think, you know, he was coming from a place of, okay, if there are other people like my wife, I want to help them. But he got in the bed with the wrong guy.
Yeah. Another kind of action movie trope. I didn't roll my eyes on this, but I was like, when the first mission, which was real cool. I love how it had like some SOCOM Rainbow Six type, and I'm like, I want to see more of that. But they come down, boom, they go in the room and it's empty. I'm like, get out. It's a trap. Get out. There's no way you guys have been doing this long and just gonna be like, it's nobody in here. I was just like, but I was like, I know the movie has to happen. I know it has to happen, so I'm gonna try to chill. But I'm like, come on. But I'm like, at the same time, it's hard to dog this movie when like 400 other movies do that. So
and that was my one thing where I kind of lost it, because I think a better way to have started the movie would have been to establish, like an establishing shot of Charlize back in the past. And then you have a setup of saying, these are the immortals, these are this group, whatever. And then you go into where she's walking through, and then you have them leading to it. Because by the time, but I also get why they did that, because they wanted to surprise the viewer. For anybody that doesn't know it's a comic book, or it leans into like sci-fi tropes or action tropes, it's kind of like, how do we shock the viewer, and how do we do something different without
yeah,
putting ourselves in a trap. But that's partially why I also liked it. So, like, I'll say, like, I'm a little bit flippy floppy. I'll admit that. But, like, that could have been a thing to better establish to bring people in. But I also like the fact of I went into it being like, oh, okay, this is what it's going to be. And it's not like they got shot by four or five bullets. They got shot by a rack of them. So I'm like, all right. And then they start waking up. It's kind of like, all right, cool. So I know what I'm dealing with.
Word up. The one thing that I want to see more of when they, and this could be any team, I know they might swap actors or whatever. It might be in the future, might be in the past, whatever. But when they came up to like the next level of the penthouse, or no, before they got to the penthouse, but when it showed all of them kind of fighting together and trading off and throwing each other guns, and like, and then it kind of like backed up, it wasn't too choppy, and you got to actually see the action and you saw them moving as a unit, I was like, this is sweet.
That goes to my point of you can follow the action without getting lost, right? Yeah. So I'm okay with action films that do that. But as a viewer, as someone who like wants to see the logical trail of where things are going in the movie, those are things that I want. So the fact that this movie did that, and I gotta say, spoiler scene, when they get to the end, and Joe says, "You killed Nikki. You shouldn't have done that." My man pushed this dude over, knocked and literally grabs his neck, and I was like, "Oh!" Like, I was watching it. And I'm sitting here trying to do my taxes and blah, 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 whatever. And I see that scene. I was like, holy shit. Excuse my French. And my girlfriend comes up. She's like, and I rewind it. She's like, damn. And my girlfriend don't watch action movies. She's like, damn, that's kind of rough. I was like, yo, this is dope.
Yo, because I thought he was going to shoot him in his face. But he gave him that nidak, the neck snap.
He did it. I'll say, man, I think, well... Go ahead, because I have my favorite scene, but keep going.
I wanted to talk about Booker and Niles and their connection, and even her kind of attitude towards his mercy at the end. I thought it was nice. I thought it was cute. I know, to a certain degree, he has to pay for his betraying parents. Them. But Charlize was like, she was gonna let you off with an apology.
I know, right?
He was like, she'll learn. And because it's like, you know,
she knew.
I guess she also kind of took into consideration like we all we got. You know what I'm saying? It's what, five of us, six of us? Actually, Charlize isn't one, which is kind of a gripe that I have that I'll talk about in a second. But it's like, look, it's only us. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So,
you know what I'm saying? Right. So I can kind of see her being like, you know, let him stay. I thought it was cute though, because like, you know, they got a chance to kind of like bond a little bit. So I thought that was cool, man. I liked how Niles was like, all right, you know, let's see if we can let him work it out or whatever. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I like it. I thought that was cool, but man, my favorite scene, like, MVP of the movie next to Charlize and Kiki, Marwan Kenzari, bro, the dude who plays Joe, like, hands down, that monologue in the truck, man, my jaw was hanging off, like, just,
I was like, well, how do you respond to that? Because and then
was they, like, of course poetry.
They beat up everybody. Then they beat up everybody or killed everybody in that truck because they open the door, dude, just fall out.
but it's like when he goes, like, and when he goes, what is your boyfriend? He's like, he's not my boyfriend. This man is the stars. I was like,
he went to Deaf Poetry on him real quick.
My man went from Def Comedy Jam to Elton John lyrics to Billy Joel.
Homie said,
and went back everything. To Elton John. He is everything to me. And then he came back and then drops to Maya Angelou on him. I was like, I'm done. Like, yeah, like that monologue was one of my favorite monologues this year. I loved it.
And then furthermore, when you saw them later on, like, being experimented on or whatever, you know, they bring Booker in and they like leave him. And Charlize like, nah, nah. And I'm like, well, I'm like, well. Also, speaking of that, did we destroy the research? Because I feel like y'all just walked out. And
see, and that, and,
I'm like, can we also set this building on fire? Because I feel like there's research that y'all are leaving back there. That if you want to leave this open for people to create soldiers or something in the future, that's fine. But let's do it in a smarter way. Because I feel like these people are smart enough to destroy that research so that it doesn't get into the wrong hands. But right. That's another thing. Because I'm always, as someone who watches a lot of spy television, a lot of spy, a lot of action and stuff, I'm like, those people would not let them keep that research. They would be in there burning the computers and blowing up something and putting acid on stuff so it wouldn't be able to be read or found, or erasing the drives. They're not going to let them just, they're not just going to kill the dude and be like, oh, well, I guess we'll just leave, just walk out. But
that's why they all look.
I know we need a sequel.
And that's one of the story points that I was like, okay, because them being around as long as they have been would have known to be like, okay, step one, we need to destroy this research. Two, we need more jobs, so we're going to go back to Copley and blackmail him into doing to get us jobs. And then three, you get to the post-credit scene. So they're setting up that sequel. Like, yeah, they probably went into this being like, going like, okay, there's sequel potential here.
Word. And I like that Copley thing too, where I was like, so is he like their, like, de facto connect now? I was like, he's like their connect. Like,
I call him Bosley. I'm like, Copley Bosley, there you go.
Wow. You know what? He is Bosley.
I'm like, Bosley.
He's like the Bosley Angel of the show.
Yeah. He's Bosley. He's Bosley. He's not Nick Fury, but he's like,
yeah,
you know, for all these purposes, he's
Nick
Fury-ish
guy.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that we got to see the good that they did, because like Charlize was kind of like, nothing matters, God doesn't matter, people don't matter, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no, look, you saved this person. They can't grew up to make something. You saved these people. That man went to the, and you know, he's like,
yeah.
He was like, no, you are doing good. He was like, these people that you were saving changed history. It's because of you and your team that you do this. Which leads me to a nagging thing. Charlize. I like Charlize. I think she's a great actress. She's awesome.
What'd you say?
This movie was set up for her to die, but they were like, let's hold on to her because she's a star. So let's hold on to her a little bit longer. Maybe we could squeeze another movie out of her. When I think her valiant and heroic death here would have made sense. But I even rebut or bite back in my own statement saying they kept her because, not to kind of subvert or kind of like overshadow Kiki's performance, because it seemed like Kiki was the next to rep. It seemed like she was going to be the next leader. And I'm like, so now Kiki's not going to be able to lead because you still got Charlize there. But I also understand Charlize has unfinished business with someone else I want to talk about, Quinn. So now she gets to have her unfinished business with Quinn, and then they can battle it out or argue it out, whatever they're going to do.
And I will say this, why I love Kiki, if you ever seen If Bill Street Could Talk, she's great in that movie. Yeah. But I will say, Kiki, like, and this is not based off really race or anything like that, Kiki doesn't have the same influence that Charlize has, number one. Yeah, number two,
you don't need,
but this is due. It's not this due. But also, so recently what happened with, you know, she was in Mad Max Fury Road as Furiosa. They're making a Furiosa spinoff and not bringing Charlize back. So now it's Netflix's advantage that they have Charlize.
Hold on, what?
Mm-hmm.
Is she supposed to be younger or something?
I think it's supposed to be a younger take on Furiosa. But I was reading stuff earlier that Charlize, she's like, she gets it, but she wasn't really happy about it.
I know why. So, probably somebody like, yo, we want to get get that juice from that movie, but we don't want to pay Charlize price.
That part right there, like, she's like, and I'm looking at just a headline, I need to look at the article, but Charlize Theron says being passed up for Mad Max prequel was a little heartbreaking. And I love Mad Max Fury Road, and Charlize made that for you. She made that role. So now that they don't have her in that movie, it's Netflix's advantage that they have a new action star in Charlize, because also Universal has her for Atomic Bond. So Universal and Netflix have access to Charlize that Warner Bros. Doesn't have anymore. So now she's in their pocket for Netflix. So I think while I would have loved to see Kiki take off and take over, because I thought that was the way it's going to go, because of the way that she was dying off, she losing her powers, whatever.
Her losing her powers, I thought it would have been fitting to either A, have a valiant death, or B, finally go live a normal life like they never ever got a chance to do.
Right.
Which would have made sense. But then I'm like,
But now you have Charlize.
You're trying to squeeze out another movie, ain't y'all?
But that's why, and keeping Charlize in the fold for this was perfect game playing from not only from a marketing perspective and also production, but also if you're trying to create a franchise, who are you going to put your franchise around? And seeing how the way it ended, because as soon as they brought in her girlfriend in the movie, I was like,
yeah.
Because I thought that the villain was going to be the person behind Merrick. I thought she was going to be that person.
Once I saw them show Booker, I was like, let me guess.
Yeah.
Quinn is here.
Exactly.
I was like, y'all going to have to do some hard work explaining.
Yeah.
Some hard work explaining how she got found. Because if she's at the bottom of the ocean, there's only a certain amount of people that can even have the technology to go down that far to withstand the pressure to even excavate possibly her. Especially how long ago it was. There should be tons of sand, coral, who knows what else.
They're going to James Cameron Titanic it. That's what they're going to do. But I'm saying now that they have Charlize and now that they have pretty much a burgeoning franchise to build around Charlize, Netflix has it ready to go. In the same way that they brought Hemsworth in with Attraction. So it's a really smart play that they kind of jumped on this and kind of take, what Warner Brothers didn't take advantage of, which is Charlize's name or her inner star power. So the fact of the matter is now, if they want to do Old Guard miniseries, Charlize could executive produce a prequel miniseries. And be like, executive produced by Charlize Theron. Oh, Charlize back for the Old Guard 2, 3, 4. It's like, that's a smart move.
Well, and the only thing that messes with the Old Guard 2, 3, 4, if you want to do it like that, is as a show where these people live such long lives, it would be kind of like, it'd be like, yo, man, why don't we play with time a little bit? Like, we know that she has to age now. So, come on, man. Another thing that I had a problem with, these people just be rolling around. I know you can get shot. That doesn't mean you don't have to wear body armor.
Body armor. They addressed that in the movie, though. That part at the end.
In a weak way, but
they kind of addressed it because she was like, Andy, put the body armor on. And she was like, it's all right. She's like, it is. And she accepts it. She's like, if I'm going to go, it's going to go. But now I want to talk about that post-credit scene. I was like, dude, as soon as I saw Booker walk in the house and drop the alcohol on the ground, I was like, they're going to do it. And I was like, and then she's making the tea and she says, Booker. And I was like, yes.
Before we bounce, I'll say this. I have a prediction. And this could be very tropey and cheesy. She's going to be the next villain. She's going to be mad at humanity. She'll have a justification because last time she was with humanity, it weren't too great.
Yeah.
So she has a justification, but I think it's going to come off as a weaker version of Killmonger. In my mind, I have this idea that it's going to come off kind of weak, but I'm not sure. I'm down to see it. I would have rather seen because it seemed like Niles inspired Andy. So I thought at the end of the movie, what would happen is Andy being like, you know what? I need to go, you know, I need to try one more time to find Quinn. You know what I'm saying? That's what I thought we were kind of going to see. But then when we saw the villain, because we know she's going to be a villain. Trust me, she'll be a villain.
See?
If she wasn't, she would have showed up or called and been like, hey guys, I'm back. Oh my God, I missed you so much. I got so much to tell you. That's not what she did. That means she's going to be a villain.
And there's two things I want to touch on before you start. The fact that Niall had that flashback about her death, about Gwen's death, I was like, that is a really, really, really nice bit of foreshadowing. That was a really, really nice, like, POTUS of foreshadowing that say, like, okay, this is what is going to go. I think the way, another way they take it is, they're a rival crew. So because Booker's out for 100 years out of their crew, and he needs money, and he's going to need a team, and he's going to be lonely, one's going to be like, yo, come work for me. You saw the outfit she had, you see that she's been taking care of herself for a long while.
Yeah,
so
jacket look nice.
They could be
don't
like
get
a
nice jackets
team.
Like that. Well, like, I mean, nah. She could have killed somebody and took the jacket. I mean, you know.
I mean, but yeah, but like, I'm like, I'm really looking forward to see where they're going. But like, you know, and honestly, I can even see if they went in the next movie, that's where they kill Charlize off, and then Kiki is star. Yes. Kiki's the star. Like, because honestly, I want Kiki to be a star, and she's also my pick if they bring in a younger Storm in the MCU.
Ooh,
so I'm on the Kiki hype will train, like, you know, and I met her after I saw Beale Street at like one of the Academy screenings. I was like, she's really nice, she's dope, she's a formidable talent that should be a more thing. So like, if they do that, that's where they kill Charlize off in the next movie, and then Kiki's the star for the rest of the franchise.
Yeah,
that's where I see like they would do that, because like they're not going to do it in the first movie.
Yeah, because now that we brought in Quinn, they definitely need their closure as a story.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Whatever that closure is, you know, Quinn kills her,
they kill each other,
Quinn or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They definitely need their closure. But was it fun? Yes. Do I want to see more? Yes. Do I want to see them maybe tip more to the supernatural side? I'm down with that. I think this is a lot of fun. And a cool joint that Netflix kind of jet set on. I'm like, all right, I see you. I see you, Netflix. I see you shining. I see you doing your thing. So with that said, I'd like to see a miniseries, say 30-minute episodes, 45-minute episodes, something like that. Mm-hmm. What Quinn has been doing from, I don't know what, 1502 until now or something like that, kind of like jumping through the ages. And then the next movie, I like to see that. You know what I'm saying? That's what I like to see.
I would like to see that, but I could also see them doing like, I like, not to bring up the MCU again, but I like how in the reboot of Incredible Hulk in 2008, that it was like the second movie, they used the open credit sequence to establish everything that happened with Banner. So if they did that in the second movie, that could be a really cool way of like setting up being like, she was here in, you know, 1408, she was here in 1776, she was here in 1920, I'm just throwing years or whatever, but like, bam. That's what I knew. As soon as I saw that mask, I was like, like, I thought there were spikes in that joint, and then they put her in the movie. I was like, oh, they gotta drown the F out of her. But now, saw that, I was like, I had nightmares about that mask. I was like, they're gonna bring her back, and then there you go.
Yep. So, guys, with that said, thank you for chilling with us. Holla at us, or holla at you, down in the comments. Let's talk the old guard. I'm down for it, man. I want to see more and see where this thing goes. Of course, I'm joined by the awesome, the incredible, the hyper-intelligent, first smartest man in Marvel.
Nah, don't.
Clement Bryant.
Stop lying to the people. Nah. Twitter, Instagram, at Clement Bryant.
Word up, guys. NERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all in places. YouTube is the hub. Hit that subscribe. Hit that thumbs up. If you hit that thumbs down, I'm going to send Quinn after you. And yeah, I'm just saying, you don't want that. Then also podcast, listen to Spotify Music, all that jazz. Holla at us. Of course, from us to you, we're saying thanks for watching and peace.
Peace.
Mm-mm. Yeah.